Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Samuel chapter number 16. If you can or able to stand, reverence reading God's word. I'll start reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren," that's David, "and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player of a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto the servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, Lord. And Father, tonight I pray that you'll open hearts, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll anoint me with fresh oil, Lord. And Father, we need you tonight, Lord, and we just love you, and I pray to help us remember what we study, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here in 1 Samuel, we see David was anointed, and he came before Saul, and he was a mighty man and a cunning and playing. But before we even hear David touch the harp, before the music fills Saul's palace, before anyone says, find somebody who can play, a tragedy had already unfolded. Saul began with what every man could want. He was chosen by God. He was anointed by Samuel. He was empowered by the Spirit. The Scripture says in the beginning that God gave him a new heart. He had a calling. He had favor. He had opportunity. He had the Spirit moving upon his life. But somehow between his anointing and where we are right now in this palace, something changed. And it didn't happen all at once. It didn't happen just in a short time. It happened with one compromise at a time, one act of partial obedience, one proud decision, one refusal to fully surrender. And Saul's unraveling began when he started valuing his own judgment and over God's command. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, Saul refuses to wait on Samuel and offers a sacrifice with no authority to do so. He was impatient. He wouldn't trust God's timing. Then in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, God commands Saul to completely destroy Amalek, but Saul disobeys. He keeps what looks valuable to him. He spares King Agag. He preserves what God said to destroy. And when confronted, Saul makes excuses. He shifts the blame. He said, the people made me do it. They said all this stuff looks good. And that's where the fracture only deepened. Samuel tells Saul, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Yes. And then the devastating words come in chapter number 15 and verse number 23. It says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That's Saul's turning point. Not because God is cruel, but because repeated rebellion hardens the heart. Saul wanted the crown more than he wanted obedience. He wanted position more than he wanted surrender. He wanted authority without being submissive. And then the scripture gives us here a sad verse we just read in verse 14. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Spirit of the Lord leaves him. And I think to myself, why? And how? And the why is the easiest answer. You know, the Spirit of God departed from Saul because of his disobedience to God. It was a judgment from God on his life. No longer would God's Spirit be with him. But how could it happen? You know, in the Old Testament, God would send his Spirit to certain people to do certain tasks. In the New Testament, John 14, 17 tells us, Jesus told the apostles in the upper room, he said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the indwelling of the Spirit, and they had the Spirit on the outside. So the Spirit was taken from him from a direct judgment of God. And while Saul is losing what he once carried, God is placing his hand on a shepherd boy. Samuel goes to Jesse's house one by one. Obvious candidates pass by. Strong sons, impressive sons, visible sons. But God says no. And then David is called from the field. The forgotten son, the overlooked shepherd. And God says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And the scripture says here that it says, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now notice the contrast here in these two verses. As the Spirit departs from Saul, the Spirit comes upon David. One king is declining through disobedience. The other is being prepared from his faithfulness. Then an evil spirit from the Lord comes to torment him. Well, I have questions about that. What is this evil spirit? You know, some people say it was some emotion. Some people say it was an actual spirit. It could have been his mother-in-law. I don't know what kind of evil spirit it was. But why would God do that? Why would God send an evil spirit to bother Saul? Because he could. Because he's God and all creation is subject to him, but God doesn't do evil. But once he takes his hand off somebody, and we saw that with Job, evil can come right back in. An evil spirit came to bother him. And now the palace here we see is in crisis. Saul's servants know that something's wrong. This isn't the same Saul that we used to see. Something's different about him. They knew something was wrong. They knew he was troubled. They knew he was restless. They knew he was tormented. Nothing can calm him down. So someone says, find somebody that can play. But then Saul says, don't just find somebody that can play. Find somebody that can play well. I want somebody that can play well. I was in band in middle school for 2 years, and I played the trumpet, and we had about 20 trumpet players. And in band, you were ranked. Anybody plays the instrument in band, you were ranked. You had a chair. And we had about 20 people, and you could challenge the person that was ranked higher than you, and you would play some song and try to get their chair, and if you practiced or whatever. And, you know, when you wanted to play somebody to play a solo or somebody to play the high parts, you didn't go ask the 20th chair. You could tell who went home and practiced and who did not. It was pretty evident. So I wanted somebody that could play well. He didn't want just anybody that could play. He wanted somebody that could play well. So they said they were going to find somebody just like that. Without realizing it and not seeing the unseen hand of God, they summoned the very man chosen to replace him, the rejected king, and they called for that anointed shepherd. And can I say this, when David was in those fields, he probably thought he was alone. To him, it was just him, the sheep, the wind. But the truth is, somebody is always watching. Somebody was paying attention. And when that moment came that the king needed a man with exactly the right qualifications, David's name just happened to come up. So often, we feel like nobody notices. We think our efforts go unseen and our faithfulness doesn't matter. We watch other people get opportunities that we hoped for or wanted for, and or that we thought that we deserved, and we wanted that promotion, and we ask ourselves, what's the point? Why am I even trying anymore? But if our only motivation is through for recognition and promotion, then we miss the purpose altogether. The truth is, somebody is always watching. Character built in private often prepares us for public purpose. Faithfulness in unnoticed places is never wasted. Doing your best, staying prepared, and serving well always matters, even when nobody seems to notice it. And when David walks into that room carrying nothing but a harp, he carries the very presence that Saul had lost. And this is what I want to preach on for just a little while. What song did David play? What song did David play? Here I see in verse number 23, it says the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed. First, I see a song that renewed his strength. The Hebrew idea here, this word is to point to a relief, a breathing room, revival. Saul had been so emotionally and mentally exhausted. The torment had drained him. Then David played and something shifted. You know, the song gave Saul room to breathe again. He was probably agitated, heavy, restless, and David's song gave him emotional relief. David's song addressed his emotional exhaustion. And this is where a lot of people live. We're functioning externally, but internally we're suffocating. We're smiling out in public like everything's okay, but we're struggling privately. We're carrying anxiety, we're carrying fear and mental fatigue, disappointment, grief, and we often try to treat our emotions with distraction. And that's maybe what the servants thought. They said, if we can only have somebody to play for, maybe it'll just distract him for a little while. But God ministers to weary hearts through his presence. In Acts 3:19, it says, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing doesn't come from escape. It comes from presence. The psalm says, he restoreth my soul. In my presence is fullness of joy. The enemy loves emotionally exhausted people because depleted people become vulnerable people. But worship has a way of calming storms. Medicine couldn't even touch, or counseling alone can't resolve. David's song reminded Saul, God was still near enough to refresh what torment had drained him. Refreshing is not found in escape. It's found in presence. Saul's exhausted soul found temporary restoration. The world offers distraction, plenty of it. God offers refreshing. David's song reminded Saul that you don't have to stay depleted in the presence of God. It was a song that renewed his strength. It was also a song that restored what was broken. It says there, so Saul was refreshed and was well. It was well. This goes deeper than refreshment. Refreshing is relief. Wellness is restoration.
Yes, sir.
Refreshing is catching your breath. Wellness is being made whole. Yep. David's song didn't just calm Saul's emotions. It touched deeper places.
Yes, sir.
This affected Saul physically. The torment had likely worn on his body. Spiritual and emotional oppression make your body hurt, make you feel old. Stress in the mind becomes tension in the body. David's worship brought relief that affected his whole body. In Psalms it says he heals the broken heart. God doesn't just soothe symptoms. He heals wounds. True wellness comes from a divine touch. The body bears what the soul carries. How many people are physically worn out because they're spiritually depleted? You got sleepless nights. You got tension in your body. You're exhausted. You have the heaviness on you and the weariness. And the body often reveals what the soul's carrying. Saul's issue was not external. His soul was unhealthy. And David's worship ministered to that soul. A lot of people are fresh for a moment, but they're never made well. You leave service feeling a little bit better, but we never surrender enough to be healed. And this was Saul's problem. He enjoyed relief without embracing transformation. He wanted peace without repentance. He wanted comfort without change. There's a difference between feeling better and being made whole. And David's song offered more than just a temporary comfort. It carried an invitation into restoration. This was a song that renewed his strength and a song that restored what was broken. I see a song that removed what oppressed him. It says, and the evil spirit departed from him. The song refreshed him. The song made him well. And then the spirit left. And it wasn't just merely emotional regulation. This was spiritual authority. David's worship displaced darkness. Why did the spirit leave? Because darkness cannot comfortably remain where God's presence is. David's life carried something Saul's palace lacked. The presence of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Presence creates freedom. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. David's surrendered life gave authority to his worship. God inhabits praise, and darkness cannot stay where God manifests. Some burdens lift only when presence enters. There are battles that a short prayer alone won't fix quickly. Strategy ain't going to solve them. Intellect can't overcome them. Some victories only come when God's presence enter the room. But here's the hard truth. The spirit departed, but later it returned. Why? Because Saul experienced deliverance without devotion. He encountered relief without relationship. He enjoyed the fruit of God's presence without pursuing the God of that presence. Music has always carried power because it speaks to places that words alone can't reach. Music often reaches the heart. It has the ability to stir memory, awaken emotion, calm anxiety, and strengthen us. A single song can take us back in time to a place, to a memory that we have. It can make us cry. It can make us rejoice. It can make us respond. God designed music with this kind of influence. It's one of the few gifts that engages the mind, emotions, and the body all at once. That's why music has always held a unique place, both in entertainment and worship. And through Scripture, music is never treated as mere background noise or entertainment. It is often connected to moments of victory, moments of deliverance, remembrance, the manifestation of the presence of God. Israel sang when they crossed the Red Sea. Jehoshaphat sent singers ahead of the army. When Paul and Silas sang in jail, it broke the chains. Music has the power to shape spiritual environments because it has the ability to focus the heart and direct the soul. The enemy understands this power too. Why so much of what fills this world is designed to influence our hearts and minds away from God. But when music is surrendered to the Lord, it becomes more than a melody. It becomes ministry. This is what makes David's harp so significant. David wasn't just a talented musician performing for a troubled king. He was a worshiper carrying the presence of God into a dark room that day. The power was not in the strings themselves, nor in the notes that he played, but it was in the life behind the song. Music becomes powerful when it carries something deeper than skill. It becomes transforming when it flows with the intimacy of God. That's why what David played could reach Saul's in ways that conversation or counsel or command could never do. His song carried the presence of God into that palace. But Saul resisted. But for a moment, that presence brought peace where torment had ruled. The kicker is David knew what Saul missed. If we look back in 1 Samuel 15, verse 24, it says, "And Samuel said unto Saul, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and the words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee." Well, he's talking to Samuel. He should have been talking to God. He should have been talking to God. Years later, David sins. And now David understands what it would be like to lose what Saul lost. So he cries in Psalm 51, he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David understood the miracle was never the harp. The power was never the melody. It was always God's presence. It was always God's presence. That was the song. It was God's presence. Now we come back to the question, what did David play? Miss Tanya, would you come to the piano? What is Miss Tanya going to play? We don't know the melody that David played. We don't know the lyrics. We don't even know if he sung at all. We don't know the progressions of chords that echoed through the palace that day. But we know what happened when the sound filled the room. The weary were refreshed. The broken were made well. The oppressed found relief. And all of it happened because one shepherd had learned to cultivate the presence of God in private. David had spent long nights in the fields, learning a song no crowd ever applauded, no audience, no spotlight, no recognition. Just a shepherd, a harp, and the presence of God. And when the day finally came, that darkness filled a king's palace. David already carried what that room needed. And that's the challenge set before us today. What are we cultivating when no one's watching? What are we carrying into a room when we enter? Because every one of us is carrying something. We carry our fears. We carry our compromises. We carry our bitterness. We carry our pride, our distractions. Or we can be like David and we can carry the presence of God. Saul had position, but no presence. He had a throne, but no peace. He had power, but no rest. And this is the tragedy of Saul's life. He sat in the very atmosphere that could have restored him, and he still refused to surrender. He experienced refreshing, but not repentance. He felt relief, but he never pursued a relationship. He wanted what the song could do for him without wanting the God that was behind the song. And if we're not careful, we can do the exact same thing. We can come to church desperate for relief, relief from our anxiety, relief from the pressure, relief from the fear, relief from the heaviness of sin, and still leave unchanged because we wanted comfort more than surrender. We can seek the feeling of His presence without even yielding to it. That was Saul's mistake. The Spirit departed. Peace came for a moment. And then the torment returned. And this happened, the Bible says, several more times. He had chance after chance after chance.